Boys and girls, it's Ladies' Day in the Bunker, and that's our song that's going out to our good buddy who is an associate. I don't know whether it's male or female, but he likes that song, so there you go. On Ladies' Day in the Bunker, Freya's Day. Yeah. It's November the 17th, 2017, and it's, like I said, Freya's Day. That's not normally my kind of music, but it is sort of cute. And but I'm not going to be doing it karaoke. I don't think I can get that high unless somebody's standing behind me pinching my you-know-what. And it was the Bee Gees. Well, let's see what the Anti-Defecation League is up to. Yeah, they had a big get-together, and we got to keep up with those boys, you know. Number one, ADL calls for action after new FBI data shows a rise in hate crimes. I've been waiting on a rise in love crimes, man. It don't seem to ever come along. Two, leading tech platforms and cyber experts to join new ADL advisory board to clamp down on online hate. Especially that goddamn Tom Metzger. Terrible Tommy. Three, ADL announces expansion of sports leadership council. Well, I think those three nigger boys that went over there to China and stole the sunglasses are probably members of that outfit. Four, extreme led march in Poland's capital draws 60,000 people. Most of them are neo-fascists or neo-Nazis. CEO and National Director Jonathan Greenblatt appears on Recode Decode, hosted by Kara Swisher, whatever the hell that is. U.S. Air Force Academy Superintendent Jay Silveria, honored by the ADL for his courageous response to racial slurs. He heard somebody say nigger boy in the bathroom. He got a special call out for that. ADL applauds House Foreign Affairs Committee for adopting the Taylor Force Act, whatever that is. Got to keep an eye on these boys. Confirmation of Audrey Azoulay as Director General of UNESCO, welcomed by ADL. Understanding the Saudi corruption arrests. What about the corruption arrests in Israel? What about all the corruption charges against Netanyahu, nitwit, and his wife and his kid and everybody? Corruption all over Israel, and they're worried about Saudi corruption. ADL on TV. Yeah, they're all over the TV. Regional news, ADL on the news. Let's see here. Wait a minute. Just a minute. Hold it. ADL on TV. Hate crimes up in California and the U.S. for the second consecutive year. San Francisco reported 28 hate crimes in 2015 to 37 hate crimes in 2016. Wow. And San Jose reported 6 to 19 in the same time period. Oakland, by contrast, reported less hate crimes, from 18 in 2015 down to 9 last year. Regional Director Seth Breese spoke on KTVU-TV, Fox Bay Area, on Monday to talk about the disturbing data.
It's very disturbing, man. You're disturbing us Jewish people.
Even though a hell of a lot of those hate crimes were against white non-kikes. Hate groups using chat rooms to share tips, bomb-making instructions, transcripts from an online chat forum used by white supremacists and neo-Nazis indicate these groups are using the internet to communicate. No shit. Recruit and share tips, including instructions for making bombs. CBS Phoenix Morgan Lowe spoke with the Arizona Regional Director Carlos Galindo Elvira, what a last name, about this concerning situation. Anti-Semitism and hostile environment found at Conifer School at the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights and Investigation determined serious anti-Semitic actions took place at Jefferson County, Colorado school. They chased a little Jew boy around the schoolhouse. The report found a hostile environment existed in West Jefferson Middle School in Conifer during the last school year. Well, almost all schools have a bad environment. The bad environment is they don't learn a goddamn thing. Scott Levin, the regional director of the Anti-Defecation League, spoke with CBS4 in Denver about the situation. Wow. Life After Hate, inside the explosion of hate groups in California. KFMB-TV, CBS San Diego recently did a report about the number of hate groups in California, which leads the nation in the number of such groups, with approximately 80, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. In the midst of their report, they discovered Life After Hate, a group created by former members of the far-right extremist groups, which helps those who are seeking to leave and get out, man. KFBM TV's Richard Allen spoke with Tammy Gillis, executive director of the ADL San Diego office, about the rise in hate groups as part of their profile on Life After Hate. for this ADL, they can take a molehill and turn it into a mountain, I'll tell you. And that's how they make their money. They're making millions of dollars, you know, digging up little things, you know.
That guy said nasty things to me, and I'm Jewish. No, my great-great-great-great-grandmother was Jewish. And my mother and father died in some place.
Students learned to combat hate at the Philadelphia Conference. ADL held its 11th annual youth conference last week in Philadelphia as part of their No Place to Hate initiative. The conference aims to combat hate through a day of workshops and tough conversations. You think that, hey, Jaime, you think that's going to stop it? If somebody's going to hate, they're going to hate no matter what. Anyhow, what you call hate is probably survival. In the news, WHYY-FM, CBS Philadelphia, Jewish exponent, ADL alarmed by continued escalation of ICE enforcement at New York courthouses. Well, that's because, the only reason that the Jews are upset about that kind of stuff and immigration enforcement is because they always want totally open borders for Jews to pass their corruption from country to country. And if you've got tight border enforcement, it interferes with their criminal activity. You know that? They don't give a shit about these Mexicans or any of these other people, all the little nigger boys coming in from Africa. All they want to do is keep those borders totally open for Jewish conspiracies. Yeah, that's true. ADL alarmed by continued escalation. Oh, I read that. ADL chief slams the new school over upcoming anti-Semitism panel featuring anti-Israel activist Linda Sarsour. Wait a minute. ADL chief slams the new school over upcoming anti-Semitism panel featuring the anti-Israel activist Linda Sarsour. That's a little confusing, isn't it? The Anti-Defamation League hosted its first game jam, Polygon. Some worshippers packed guns at churches and synagogues down there in Broward County, Florida. Well, that's probably the smartest thing they've done so far. You gotta protect yourself from those goddamn neo-Nazis. They'll probably start packing them in New York City down there in Brooklyn in that big synagogue surrounded by Negroes. Some worshippers packing guns at churches and synagogues. That's another article. Trump plans for dealing with domestic terror is missing in action. that's what's on the ADL agenda, man. Got to keep up with those boys. You're going to find out who you don't like, and that makes you an anti-Semite hater. Yeah, just because you don't like somebody. Ever notice how the more the Jews scream about anti-Semitism and put articles all over the place and bring all these people together and whine and cry about it, the more there is? It grows exponentially to their griping and crying. I got a suggestion to the Jews. Just shut up for about 6 months or a year and see what happens. You might find it very refreshing. Well, here I've got a interested party out there sent me a little paragraph here to tell you. He says, I want you to tell your friends. Hello again. Let me tell you my scenario of what will happen when the shit hits the fan and for future white pagan civilization. You see it often in the Jewish movies, but I give you more details. When it happens, we will close the borders immediately. We will intensify non-white immigration into the old Roman land. Then our Christian brothers will discover, no shit, Sherlock, that the pagans plus the Jews equal the Antichrist. We will create a new alternative for people like this. We will give them a chance for building our society and to come to our land, but under one small condition. we will install a little microchip in their asses. Yeah. Just in case they come with an idea promoting Roman style or of exterminating other people, we have a list of great white civilizations that Rome ended cruelly by torturing, burning, destroying knowledge, not to mention Holy Inquisition. Every Christian will be under special mental supervision 24/7. Let's call it 21st century barbarian invasion of Rome with robots, drones, weather manipulation, HARP, electromagnetic weapon, lasers, atomic bomb use, blackmail, and other advanced toys you can imagine. Might is right in pure form. Let the nature judge which is superior, pagan or Roman. Wow! After some time period, we will cancel the Muslim religion. We and the Jews had created Muslim religion to multiply muds in the past as a defense tool. After Caesar Constantine legalized Christianity with fucking feudal system, that was later introduced on pagan grounds. Just my opinion. Regards. Well, what you say is a little bit confusing, but I detect some thought in there, which may be true. It's true what the Romans did to the pagan people, and it set the race back, even though a lot of the things that Rome came up with as far as technology and so forth were quite good. I'm always impressed by those Roman bridges and aqueducts that are still standing after all these years. Anyhow, thank you, and I'll take that under advisement. Maybe you could break that down and make it a little easier to understand next time. Personally, at this time, I think we could use all the Romans and pagans we can get. This is another bit confusing here. This was in the Jewish Chronicle. Desire to belong made this Jew a neo-Nazi. See, that's why I'm just a racial separatist. I'm not going to answer to any of these titles. A former far-right political activist and prominent neo-Nazi who dramatically revealed he was both gay, homosexual, and of Jewish heritage. Boy, he's really got a problem. Has said he became involved in radical nationalism for a sense of belonging and identity. Now, why in the hell would he do that? Why would he go into some liberal progressive outfit? Kevin Wilshaw, 58, promoted white supremacy over 40 years, becoming, wow, over 40 years he was in the white nationalist movement? He was in the hated white nationalist movement and a neo-Nazi for 40 years. I wonder how many Negroes did he kill before he discovered he was gay and Jewish. I wonder who's been doing all this hate crime of Negroes, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans. How to be a Jewish homosexual did all that stuff. You know, I've always been suspicioned that a whole lot of the white nationalists, the right wing, and even the racist so-called movement has been run right out of the Anti-Defecation League offices in New York City from the very beginning. How about this one? Andrew Anglin spent his formative years flirting with hippie progressivism, then tried his hand at becoming a tribal hunter-gatherer. But he only achieved notoriety after he founded the Daily Stormer, the world's biggest website for neo-Nazis. Anglin and his mob of followers have terrorized people around the world, and their influence has been cited by the perpetrators of fatal violence. If you believe that, you'll buy the Empire State Building. You're just a little guy with a computer putting out old anti-Jewish pro-Nazi stuff that's so old it's got whiskers on it and not effective either. Well, I'm not going to let him do his thing. I don't give a shit. It's not going to go anywhere anyhow. And he'll either end up in the prison or he'll end up quitting and being paid a lot of money to lecture by the ADL. What lessons should be learned from England's radicalization? And what is society's best response to his ideas? Luke O'Brien and Rosie Gray join Jeff and Matt to discuss these questions and how far-right extremism is evolving. Well, it's evolving at the pace that you're allowing it to evolve, because you not only create it, but you run it and you foster it. I don't know how many of you people have seen the picture of Andrew Anglin, but I'm telling you, if it had been in Nazi Germany, he wouldn't have passed the race test. When they were putting those things on their head to check out their skulls and stuff, and whether somebody looked Jewish, well, I'm afraid Andrew Anglin would have been in the camp. Sorry, Andrew. Have fun. It won't last too long. Give you tons of media, put you on all the TV shows, and then they'll crush you like a bug. Says here on the internet that Dylan Roof became a hero to Anglin's readers, who honor him with bowl cut memes. Well, I'm sad to tell you, boys and girls, that's not the way it's done. To get racial separation is not blowing up churches, or not blowing up people in churches. Remember when the so-called racist blew up that 14th Street church down there in, what, Atlanta, or down in the South way back in the 60s? Didn't stop integration, did it? Didn't stop it one bit. In fact, it furthered integration. It furthered the so-called civil wrongs movement. So why does the right wing keep wanting to do things the wrong way? Well, I know, because they get lots of press. Blow up a church gets a lot of press. They'll even make a movie about you. But you won't further white separation. Actually, you can further white racism and white separation by joining the Democrat Party, because the Democrats are doing more to promote racial separation than anybody else lately. They're the most racist. I mean, they're the most racist. Everything they're doing is turning into racism, and they're pushing racism all over the place in the guise of fighting racism. So you'd probably do a lot more good just joining the Democrat Party and taking over the local committee. When I read this stuff that they write about people like Anglin, it's something else. Like statements like, anyone who might impede the alt-right's assault on the nation, you know. You know how many people are in the alt-right? I don't want to embarrass those people, but the enemy knows how small it is. They try to make it look like they're going to take over any day. That's an old game. That's the way they play the game. Oh, my God, the Ku Klux Klan is coming. Incidentally, that son of a gun Moore, who they're trying to get out of the race for Congress, don't have much sympathy for him, but I'm glad they're putting him to the ground, because he was really anti-Klan. He was involved in putting a lot of Klansmen in prison. So now, isn't that ironic that the progressives, mostly the progressives and some of the conservatives, are calling for his head? Calling for his head. Well, that's great, because that's payback for all the Klansmen he put in prison. Another thing from one of those articles about Anglin. Quote, there is rapidly approaching the time when in every white Western city corpses will be stacked in the streets as high as men can stack them, unquote, he wrote. And you're either going to be stacking or getting stacked. Well, that's probably true in one way or another, but not the way you'd like. That's where it said, I met England's preschool teacher, Gail Burkholder, who described being shocked when she learned that her former student had grown up to be a notorious white nationalist. Why would I think one of my students would become a Nazi who wants to kill me, unquote, said Burkholder, who is Jewish. She'd spotted Anglin's name in the news after Dylan Roof murdered 9 black people in Charleston, South Carolina. Yeah, Roof reportedly left comments on the Daily Stormer. And he's become a hero to England. Interesting. Nothing could give the so-called progressive neo-Bolsheviks more happiness than guys like Anglin. Quite separatists have to remember to proceed along the lines of part of at least what Dr. Pierce was promoting. Not everything, but Dr. Pierce, National Alliance, was promoting something closer to what we think of as for white separatism than this right-wing, alt-right crap, which is almost totally created by the enemy. I learned what I know the hard way. They're going to put me on TV. God damn, they're going to put me on TV. Now we're getting someplace. I really thought we were. Never happened. New York Times wants to talk to me. Wow, that's great. We're getting somewhere now. It's all designed that way. To use ISIS as an example, but I don't remember ISIS doing many interviews. Do you? I never saw any real interviews with ISIS that I could understand. I just put a little note. I just put a little note on the Atlantic Magazine comment section about Judge Roy Moore. You know him. He's the guy that likes to diddle little girls. It's amusing to see Judge Moore wiggle and squiggle like most politicians do when they get caught with their tit in the ringer. It pleases me no end because Judge Moore made his name by persecuting KKK members in his state. Those that are still alive, that survived, are getting their pound of flesh. Signed, Terrible Tommy. What do you think of that? You know? I love how all the hypocrite Christians, or not all of them, but a lot of the hypocrite Christians are still supporting the guy. This shows you how hypocritical most of the Christians are. If you proclaim your love for the baby Jesus, you can get away with about anything. It's amazing how we can go in Germany from a time when the average police officer in the German country was highly educated, highly moral, and usually good family men, to this. Neo-Nazi policeman deemed unfit to serve by German court. Why don't they just make it Nazi? A German policeman whose tattoos and Hitler salutes indicate far-right extremists. Why not far-left? Most of the National Socialist movement in Germany turned out to be to the left. His attitudes can be fired from his job, a court decided. Tattoos are particularly intensive display of personal views, it said. Well, I'd have a big problem. Well, I don't have any racial tattoos because I got my tattoos before I became racial. A German court on Friday ruled that a policeman who had far-right extremist symbols tattooed on his body and was proven to have made a Nazi salute in public could be dismissed from his job. See how obscene this bullshit is? They wonder why people hate. Some people hate. You must hate with a perfect hatred. Hate your enemies and love your friends. They never tell that we love our friends, only that we hate our enemies. Well, anybody should hate their enemies. There's a lot of people out there that hate me, and if they hate me, they hate me. If they got a reason for hating me, they have a reason for hating me. I don't give a shit. In their verdict, the judges in Eastern Germany city of Leipzig said that anyone who rejected the constitutional principles of freedom, democracy, and rule of law was not fit to be a public service, and the tattoos of neo-Nazi symbols were an adequate reason for supposing that a person had permanently renounce those principles. Well, you could move that to this country. The Constitution is no longer anything to do with the white race. There's nothing in it that has anything to do. They've taken everything out of it that has to do with the white race. So they're going to say pretty soon, if you don't give homage to the United States Constitution, you're an enemy of the state, and pick you up. It's probably coming to that. I don't know when. But if you don't want to be involved in it, you better get out now. Quote, an officer's duty of loyalty can also be violated by wearing of tattoos with unconstitutional content, presiding judge Ulf Domgorgon said. One can barely imagine any more intensive confession of inner convictions than having them tattooed on so they can be communicated to the outside world. This is why you have to hate your enemies extremely and keep it on race, nothing else, on race. Anything connected and promoting race is good for us. Anything that does not promote race is bad. Every other area of society is up for grabs and can be argued over, but not that, because you see what they're doing. They're doing. Well, among other things, the man had tattoos showing music of notorious Nazi anthem, the Horst Wessel Lied, which has been banned in Germany since the end of World War II. For that, we're going to show them what we think. How about this? How about this? The Greek rendition of the Horst Wessel Lied, but it's available in several languages up there on YouTube. So anyhow, that's dedicated to the German government of today, the rotten, corrupt government led by that squatty little East German bitch, and also to the U.S. Congress, U.S. Senate, and especially to the State Department of the United States and all their military-industrial complex. You can bend over and you can kiss my white ass. Don't respect your so-called democracy, and I don't respect your so-called Constitution anymore, and I don't support any of that stuff. To hell with you. Just remember one thing. You can laugh now, but it's not over till it's over. And you never can tell. There may be some very interesting alliances form in this country before it's over, even if temporary. News articles like this that they waste time on, that's funny. They're funny. The Ku Klux Klan recruitment flyers are found on vehicles throughout the valley. You mean on cars and pickup trucks? The Ku Klux Klan recruitment flyers found on vehicles throughout the valley. People around the Shenandoah Valley have woken up and or left work to find Ku Klux Klan flyers on their cars in recent days. Police in Winchester reported getting calls about KKK recruitment flyers back on Halloween. Well, my goodness, trick or treat your ass. It's amazing how a few pieces of paper can evoke such vitriol. It's funny. Here's an interesting article. Unqualified judicial nominee reportedly defended the first KKK on an Alabama fan forum. Well, the first KKK was the most noble KKK ever to exist. It was a guerrilla warfare outfit to fight off the carpetbaggers from the north. One of this man, and his name is Tally's Post, in which there are reportedly 16,381, defended a founding member of the Ku Klux Klan. And I give him tribute for that. Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest, in a 2011 post, another user, Bonero, posted a story questioning a Mississippi proposal to honor Forrest by using his image in a license plate. That's great. I commend you, hardliner old fighters down south. I knew a lot of old fighters down south that died fighting the good fight, and I'll never forget them. A friend of mine cleared the St. Augustine beaches of the Negroes, tried to come in there and integrate back in the 50s. He came down there and rallied the troops and drove them out. Yeah, he was a barber, and he used to complain to me that they wanted to have him cut Negro hair. He said, "I can't cut Negro hair. It's a different kind of hair. I won't do it." So he put a sign on the front of his barber shop, "Do not cut Negro hair." And they didn't like that, all the progressives. They didn't like that stuff. You know, the famous but incompetent are all excited about cyber crime. I want to tell you, I'm more in fear of the famous but incompetent than I am regular criminals. You can avoid most of that by common sense, but with a famous but incompetent worming their way around the internet, they're more to be feared than the crooks, so-called crooks, because these are bigger crooks, famous but incompetent crooks, liars and cheats like the head of the FBI was and is. They're all liars. I remember back in the late 40s and 50s how, as a little kid, I used to think how great the FBI was, how wonderful this outfit was. There used to be radio shows on like the FBI and Peace and War, and they were 100% all-American white guys, you know. And yeah, those were the days. We were wrong then, and we're a lot wronger now. Started it with that little shrimp J. Edgar Hoover, a real racial throwback, and a homosexual that didn't have the guts to come out of the closet, you know. He used to stand on a box to address big, tall, Aryan FBI agents. So he stood on a box so he'd be the same height as they are. This is the kind, and like I've told you before, him and Tillis, I think was it Tillerson? I'm getting my names wrong. He had his boyfriend, his right-hand man. They used to go down here to the country club along the coast, not far from where I'm at. And they had a cabin there, back when they had cabins instead of big hotels. And they used to do their fucking and sucking in this little cabin. And the man that told me was a FBI agent himself. He said that J. Edgar's boyfriend would go out in the grocery store and buy grapes. He'd come back and open up the window in the bedroom and hang the grapes from the tree branch so that they could reach out and pluck these grapes as they sucked and fucked. This is the kind of people who run this country. I mean, this is the kind of people who've been running this country for a long, long time. They're finding corruption now? Shit. They're not even scratching the surface of corruption. People all over the world know all about it. Americans say, oh no, not here. We're the land of the free, the home of the fucking brave. This is democracy. Anybody out there that don't like what I talk about and the way I say it, you're more than welcome to go trotting back in your faggy little pants to the alt-right, where they'll tell you what you want to hear and you'll just give them all your money and they'll live high on the hog like Duke used to do. Because some people don't want to be saved. Some people want to be lied to. And some people eat it up. And they'll never quit. Don't like anybody to tell them the cold hard facts and the truth. They don't like that at all. You have messed with my dream. You have belittled the baby Jesus, man. If you don't vote for Judge Roy Moore, you're going to hell, man. Because he's forgiven his sins. No matter what his sins were, by the blood of Jesus Christ, he's been forgiven. And if you mess go against him, you're going to hell. Guys have got a liberal running against him. A progressive. He'll take things down faster down there in Alabama. Or just as fast. Remember, if you're going to vote, always vote for the worst one, as far as white separation is concerned. Just vote for the worst one. See, like last time, you should have probably voted for Hillary. They're both bad, but you should have probably voted for Hillary, because she'd make it worse faster. Now they're finding out that the middle class is going to suffer the worst with this tax deal. Well, what the hell do you think when they're going to spend $900 trillion on armaments and planes and boats and things to kill people all over the world? And then they jokingly say we're going to save the middle class? Are you shitting me? I'll tell you what, you cut that down in half or down three quarters, that military-industrial complex budget, and you'll see things really get to going in this country. We can really rebuild this country. The trains, the planes, the automobiles, everything. But when they won't do, when they keep raising that military war budget, you're being fucked no matter what you do. And what's worse is you're fucking people all over the world. Killing them all over the world. They just want to be left alone. I've been watching a series on Netflix TV. It's called The Tyrant. You ought to watch it. It's about a Middle East country that's totally into corruption and dictatorship, and then they try to get out, and there's factions, and they're killing each other. It's a very interesting series called The Tyrant. See, they're claiming that ISIS is promoting that their people make attacks in India against the Kumbh Mela, Thracia, Pogrom, I don't know what the hell that is. France and other Western European countries are on full alert to preempt any sinister designs of lone wolf attacks by ISIS-inspired terrorists in India and so forth, and in Europe. Well, if we quit blowing the shit out of the Middle East and let those people get back to their lives and get their caliphate, which we caused to be destroyed, Western corporations, and World War I that we should never have been in, was what caused the fall of the caliphate and the redistribution of those countries into different new countries with different borders and everything else. And they haven't been right since. There's never going to be any peace until they get out of those places and leave them and run their own countries. Leave them alone. As far as I'm concerned, the Muslim religion is just another wacky religion. Muhammad became a very brutal and criminal guy. But it was theirs, just like Christianity is here. And I don't think we're going to be able to do anything about it in this century, maybe next century. But if they're going to have the Muslim religion over there, we'll let them have it. That's their business. It's not my business. Unless they try to plant it in my neighborhood, and then they've got a problem. Well, New York City is plenty to worry about from sea level rise. Well, all the coastal cities do, and that's good. If the water rose up, it'd probably wash away a lot of our problems. But according to a new study by NASA researchers, it should worry specifically about two major glacier systems in Greenland's northeast, northwest, but not so much about other parts of the vast northern ice sheet. Yeah, that water is rising all over the place. It's going to wash away a lot of crap. And most of the crap in this country is centered in the large cities on the coast, so why can I be against it? Mother Nature's going to help us out, purge us. How about this for a cosmic joke? The American Heart Association president has a heart attack. Well, if the head of the Heart Association can't protect his heart, who can? Talk about a stupid story. For $50,000, this Texas company will clone your dog. Oh, that's something we should waste our time on. Yeah. With millions of dogs in kennels and walking the streets and roaming the byways and highways, why don't you just adopt a dog? You don't need to create a new dog. That's how crazy this country's getting. You will note that in no case does New York City get the full effect of ice loss from any of these parts of Greenland. It's still far too close to the ice sheet. But Miami, gets 95% of the global total sea level rise from the northeast ice stream, while distant Rio de Janeiro gets 124%, or over 5 inches in the scenario above. That's not bad. Able to wash all those Cubans that we brought in here under the Mario boat lift from Cuba, wash them out to sea again. Maybe it's going to flood all those non-white islands down there in the Caribbean that are white people better get out of there and let the Jamaicans get a snout full of water. Well, here's something that will make you middle-class, working-class people happy, or will it? Richard Cordray, the aggressive first director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, plans to leave the agency by the end of the month, giving President Donald Trump a chance to appoint a replacement likely to be friendlier to the financial industry, i.e. banks. Cordray was and banks are not your friend. Remember that, no matter what they tell you. Cordray was a holdover from the Obama administration, appointed to his position in 2013 for a 5-year term. Under his leadership, the CFPB implemented or proposed a myriad of new rules and regulations for the banking industry. Yeah, I bet. Were they to benefit the working class? Shit. The announcement was not unexpected. It was widely believed that the Ohio native plans to make a run next year for governor in Ohio. Yeah. CFPB was created as part of the laws passed following the 2008 financial ripoff of the American people and subsequent recession. Did it change anything? Hell no. The agency was given a broad mandate to be a watchdog for consumers. Ha ha ha! when they deal with banks and credit card and student loan and mortgage companies, as well as debt collectors and payday lenders. They're really looking out for your interests, boys and girls. Nearly every American who deals with banks or a credit card company has a mortgage, or has a mortgage, has been impacted by new rules the agency put in place. I'll bet you have. The CFPB gets its funding from the Federal Reserve, the privately owned banking system, and its director is given significant leverage to go after what he or she considers important and cannot be removed from the position except for wrongdoing. Well, they do the wrongdoing all the time. Cordray used that mandate aggressively as its first director, which often made him a target for the banking industry's Washington lobbyists and congressional Republicans, who believed Cordray was overreaching his role, calling the CFPB a rogue agency. Those Republicans that do that are not your friend, working class white Americans and others. They're not your friends. As director, he also was able to extract billions of dollars in settlements from banks, debt collectors, and other financial services companies for wrongdoing. Well, that was good. No wonder Trump wants to get rid of him. When Wells Fargo was found to have opened millions of phony accounts for its customers, the CFPB fined the bank $100 million, and the agency's largest penalty to date. Just a slap on the wrist, but at least it was something. Quote, the resignation of the Bureau's director is an excellent opportunity to enact desperately needed reforms, said Representative Jeb Hensarling, the chairman of the powerful House Financial Services Committee and a longtime critic of Cordray, in a statement. These people are not your friends. He was probably more your friend than these people. When Trump was elected, Cordray became one of the highest political appointees to be left over from the previous administration. Some congressional Republicans had urged Trump to fire Cordray, and he would have. Trump is not your friend, boys and girls. All you have to do is read what he's doing in the financial area and banks and the military-industrial complex, and you'll know he's not your friend. But you still, all the right-wingers, and, oh, he's our boy. I remember the same shit with that egghead Ronald Reagan. He was another crook, another corrupt president who did just the opposite. If you check his record, he did just the opposite of what they're giving him credit for. And when the Republicans now say, we're going to set up things so we'll bring jobs back to America, who do you think sent the jobs out in the first place? The goddamn Republicans in the National Commerce Committee, National Chamber of Commerce. I remember when they were promoting sending the jobs out for cheap labor. I remember that, and now they're coming back and saying, oh, we're great guys, we're bringing jobs back. Bend over, boys and girls, and get your Vaseline out. That's it for today. I'll be back on Moon's Day.
If you'll gather round me, children, a story I will tell about pretty boy Floyd, an outlaw, Oklahoma knew him well. It was in the town of Shawnee, a Saturday afternoon, his wife beside him in his wagon, as into town they rode. There a deputy sheriff approached him in a manner rather rude, vulgar words of anger, and his wife she overheard. Pretty boy grabbed a log chain and the deputy grabbed his gun. In the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. Then he took to the trees and timber to live a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. But many a starving farmer, the same old story told, how the outlaw paid their mortgage and saved their little homes. Others tell you about a stranger that come to beg a meal. Underneath his napkin left a $1,000 bill. It was in Oklahoma City. It was on a Christmas day. There was a whole carload of groceries come with a note to say, well, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Here's a Christmas dinner for the families on relief. Yes, it's through this world I've wandered. I've seen lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six-gun and some with a fountain pen. And as through your life you travel, yes, as through your life you roam, you won't never see an outlaw drive a family from their home.